This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
An edible three-course journey through a tale of immigration, homecoming, and cookery. What's this all about? Tell us.
It's all about recounting journeys and getting people to reflect on their personal journeys, I suppose.
Right. Now this you're part of the Melbourne Arts Festival, and you're born in India, but you lived in Pakistan, but you're British somewhere along the way, accidentally British. Is that right?
That's true. I didn't have any plans to be British, but indeed, I was born in Bombay, and then mum and dad migrated, so we went to Pakistan. We went to Karachi first,
yep,
and then went to Lahore, more or less kind of grew up there. So I'd say about 18 years or more were spent in that one city.
Right, okay.
And
why did your parents move?
I wonder, that's a million-dollar question, isn't it? Why do people migrate? why did all the migrants come to Australia to have a better life for themselves? Precisely for that reason,
right, okay.
I suppose. Even though Dad was working as a film director in India, his two other brothers had already moved to Pakistan at the time of the partition.
Right.
So they were beckoning him to come and,
right,
come on, man, what are you doing back in India? There are Hindus and there are Christians and all sorts there in Pakistan. It'll be only Muslims. So you do really well for yourself. And somewhere along the line, I think my father fell into that trap and then looked at two of us, it was myself and my older brother, and thought, right, that would make them good and they'll kind of go and have a good life. So I think perhaps there was that somewhere for his own personal thing, and then to kind of be close to his other family and the dream to change and do good.
Right, okay. And did then you move to England?
I moved to England. I got a British Council scholarship to do my master's.
Right.
So that was purely by chance that out of the whole country, they managed to pick my application and kind of go, right, we're sending you for 2 years. And while I was there, I fell in love with the partner who I co-founded the company with.
Right.
And we were together for 14 years. And one of my mates from the college had turned around and said that, Ali, what's going to happen? You'll go away. What will happen? You've been with this man for more than 3 weeks. I was like, yeah, it's only 3 weeks. Come on. And she was like, no, none of my friends go beyond 3 nights. I mean, this is 3 weeks. This is serious. We had a big party and we got married so that I could stay in the country.
Right.
And, not with my boyfriend at the time, but with this girlfriend from college.
Because I was going to say.
Who kind of went, we have to do this because you cannot just leave.
Yeah.
You both of you would be heartbroken and I'll die because I know that you two love each other.
Oh, how sweet is that?
It is incredible.
Yeah.
It is incredible.
And he's still friends with her?
Yeah. I divorced her finally like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Oh, so you didn't do it straight away?
No. I mean, we're really good friends.
Right.
So we'd done that horrible thing of like checking each other's moles and, which tit of yours is larger than the other, that sort of thing. But no, it was fine. It was fine. I think most of the authorities, their only interest is that people don't go on to the public subsidy.
Yep.
And that's it.
So. Yeah. Excellent. Now, so you got involved in, I don't even know really how to describe it because it's a feast. You sit in front of a feast and you're looking at images that's happening on a screen. Obviously, you're going to be able to explain it better than me.
The whole thing is a feast.
Yes.
It's a visual feast as well as a feast of tastes.
Uh-huh.
So you walk into the space and there are round tables with clusters of eight. You can kind of go and pick whichever table you want to sit at.
Right.
And there are four screens all around you with projections and with the visual story narrating through that side. And I'm adding my voice to it. Live, and that's what I'm doing. And right. Then there are moments where the story comes to a little pause and the food comes out. And as the food is served very quickly, then the story continues, but not my story. Then it's the interviews that I've done with other people.
Right.
And they talk about what migration means to them.
Yep.
And that migration is about food. That migration is about being a migrant. So. Yep. You get different perspectives, like kind of academic perspectives, as well as those who have experienced the migrations firsthand,
right.
in many ways.
Because that is one of the wonderful things about new immigrants to new countries, especially here in Australia. We were very English, and all the wonderful European food that was introduced to us, and it changed the way that we looked at food. And exactly the same thing would have happened in England when all the Indians, the Pakistanis moved there, and they are. There are so many great restaurants, aren't there? Indian restaurants in England.
Absolutely. I think, I mean, I distinctly remember 1988, the time that I was in London for the first time, and actually going into the supermarkets and kind of going, I want to buy garlic. And they said, oh, we don't stock it. I was like, what do you mean you don't stock it? And they said, well, you'll find it in the Indian shops. And now you can buy dragon fruit in the supermarket. So yeah. There is a massive, massive change that has come through. Mm. And since Europe has all kind of become
one
EU, there is a plethora of, there's a plethora of different tastes that... that Londoners, and not just Londoners, that England has been introduced to.
Yep.
And those kind of things were not happening before. Yeah. You'd kind of open your mouth and say mozzarella or pecorino, somebody would kind of say you're talking some gobbledygook. and now everybody knows exactly what that is.
So is that why it's so important that food is part of your show? That because it's part of the immigration, as you said?
Well, food has always been part of the migration. I think, I mean, migration for me is an affirmation of life, because if there isn't movement, whether it's migration of ideas or migration of food or migration of things or people, that becomes like death. And those cultures who tend to think of themselves as pure, I suppose, and get into the realm of not understanding that we are the culture, we are constantly making it, they kind of somehow lose the benefit of knowing what is in the present, because you're constantly looking back as a reference point to this is how we were,
yeah.
rather than, oh, this is who we are. And in the process of reclaiming who we are,
yeah.
you look at the difference and you kind of understand from the difference. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. The it's called Journeys of Love and More Love, which is just gets you thinking, what's it about? You know, like the it gets your interest up straight away. Did you have fun picking the name?
I had a YouTube name for myself, which I had put a few years back, which was just called Love and More Love.
Yep.
To the point that there were some of my friends who'd get the invites from me to look at the videos that I'd uploaded, and they'd kind of think that it's a porn site. But I wanted to kind of play with that a bit more, because love is fine, but what about more love?
Yep, yeah. And it's the whole journey of love in different forms that that you're talking about, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yep. I'm not using the didactic hammer of saying, look, this moment is that of love and this moment isn't. But it's in the process of looking at movement. Of course, I'm looking at the idea of love and how can you extend the sense of welcome, whether that is welcome on a personal relationship mm-hmm. or when it gets into a collective.
Yep.
So from the moment you get into the space, you're being loved.
When did you first come up with this idea? Did you work towards this, or was it just a concept that you thought, wow, this is where I'm going with it?
Oh, no. It's evolved over a fairly long period of time. I think if I were to seriously contemplate when was the first time the idea was hatched, probably I was sitting at someone's dinner table and being in that process of sitting together and realizing yeah. that isn't this great that I'm on this table for the first time and I'm a stranger and yet I'm completely subsumed by the conversations going on. So I think that, and that's probably a very early memory, realizing that food has that capacity
yeah.
to just kind of pull you in. And then in 1995, I had done a project in Brick Lane. Are you familiar with East London?
Yes.
Now, there were loads of Bangladeshi restaurants, which of course were not calling themselves Bangladeshi. It was all Indian cuisine. And I'd worked with one of the restaurateurs and got him to be involved in this project in which we figured that it'd be fantastic to get some of the home cooking on the table. And not the stuff, not the typical chicken tikka masalas and
yep.
all sort of stuff that they had to kind of cater for the market. And he was a bit reluctant, but I managed to talk to his mother in my broken, well, I don't have any Bengali language, but in my Hindi, and she could understand partly.
Yep.
And she could understand the passion that why I was saying that, come on, auntie, you guys are from Bangladesh. Why do you have to say that you're Indian, you know, only because the people would come to your restaurant? Let's cook the things that you cook. What are you going to cook for me, sort of thing? So, and as part of the guided tours of the city, which was part of that project, it was called The Seed, The Root. People loved that food. And that was a stopover in the restaurant that people went and he served the food. And then after people ate, they kind of continued the journey right. elsewhere.
Yeah.
So that was the first one. And a direct result of that was that 4 years or 5 years after that, he was the first one who put a big sign saying Bangladeshi cuisine.
Oh, excellent.
And actually now on that street, you cannot find Indian cuisine because they're all from Bangladesh and they're proudly using that.
Isn't it a shame when some people actually have to hide their identity when they go to a new country?
I think they are all kind of processes whereby, they're means to keep people at bay, I feel, because you kind of have to learn to assimilate. And assimilation or a natural adapting of wherever you are, that adaptation happens as a way of life. But if there isn't a welcome, then for sure I think people would remain in clusters and create ghettos, and that is what happens, I yes. think.
Well, just the sheer fact that you said this whole row, they're all, well, they used to be Indian restaurants. People do tend to stick together, don't they?
Yes.
And because they're like-minded and yet they've moved to another country and yet they're holding on to their traditions from home, which is a lovely thing anyway.
Well, traditions are very interesting to me because whatever you do more than five times becomes a tradition. It's the habits that become glorified traditions.
Yep.
And in as much as we kind of all go there, oh, yeah, we are a creature of habit, we love our traditions.
Mm.
But yet at the same time, if you get fettered and weighed by the traditions to the point that you find it absolutely impossible to get out of them, then we are back into that death realm,
yep.
I think.
Yep. Now, you've toured this a fair bit. Yeah, like, and do you enjoy taking it on the road and letting new audiences experience it?
Absolutely. That's the joy of it.
I can see that on your face. That's the smile.
That's the joy of it. That's absolutely yes. the joy of it. We did a food workshop actually on the 1st of October with Multicultural Arts Victoria.
Uh-huh.
And we had advertised, and MAV had advertised to people saying that, you know, we'd be doing a food workshop and if you want to come and join. The idea was like a potluck. So people were asked to bring a dish yep. each. And the space, we only had 20 spaces. There were 24 people who were there. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing because we presented the food that we brought and talked about it. And then once that conversation started, there was no stopping. So something that was designed only for 2 hours, reluctantly, because 2 hours is very, very short, actually. It went on for three. And likewise, my only thing with Journeys of Love and More Love is that it's not something where you kind of come out going, wow. You don't kind of, it whets your appetite. It just kind of gets you started. And I think that is what the show does.
You're down at the Arts House, the old meat market. Have you been there yet? Do you actually know the building?
I went there last year to take a look and confirm that that would be the venue.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space,
isn't it?
It is,
absolutely.
And you know what it used to be?
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is is fantastic.
There are all the bull's heads and pig's heads and all livestock there. And good that I'm only using vegetarian menu.
And you're starting on Tuesday the 11th? And you're going through to Sunday the 16th of October, and it's called Journeys of Love and More Love, which is such a lovely title. I really like it. Ali, thank you so much for coming in today, and thanks for bringing this really incredible show to Melbourne. I can't wait to experience it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.